She is one of the most iconic faces of television history, and in two of her most memorable close-ups, she doesn't say a word. In fact, she doesn't even move. There's that smiling headshot where she's wearing a formal dress and tiara that captures youth full of promise and privilege. And another much darker shot, her eyes closed, face flecked with sand, framed by plastic, where she appears as a corpse. I'm talking about Cheryl Lee, the American actor who, perhaps still to this day, and despite a varied and decades-long career, is perhaps still best known for her role as Laura Palmer, the ill-fated small-town debutante of David Lynch's Twin Peaks universe. Lee is coming to Australia next week on a speaking tour with other members of the Twin Peaks cast. She joins me now on the phone from LA. Hello, Cheryl Lee. Welcome to The Hub on Screen.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me.
Now, this must have been such a strange role to audition for. Take me back to that time when you first met with David Lynch to discuss playing Laura Palmer, this iconic role. How did he explain to you this role, and how did you get the job? What was it about you, do you think, that won you the job?
Well, that you would have to ask David, but I was living in Seattle at the time, which is where they... that's where the pilot was shot of that very first season 30 years ago. And I was studying theater, and I had an agent, and I got a call that she said David had seen my headshot and he was in town for something very mysterious. No one knew very much about it. Would I come in and meet him? And of course, absolutely, I did. And I was very nervous, and he was very, very kind and funny, and we just talked, and he asked me how I would feel about being put in freezing cold water and painted gray and all of these things, and I said, oh, just fine, absolutely fine. And that was it. Originally, I think it was only a few days worth of work as a corpse, and I think there were a couple flashback photos or scenes that were scheduled, and then we filmed all that, and it sort of continued from there.
When did you realize that she was going to be such an important and an iconic figure, in fact, in TV history? And what do you think it is about Laura Palmer that has struck a nerve?
Well, unfortunately, I think it's that so many people have gone through similar situations in real life. I mean, the statistics of the abuse and everything that she went through, the statistics in real life are still horrifically high. And there's something about that story that I think that's where her story touches people in that sense.
Does it touch you as well? I mean, in terms of you've had to revisit her again after sort of 30 years recently doing the Twin Peaks Return series, which was one of the best things I think on any screen of recent times. And how does she cohabit in your mind, or, you know, does she weigh upon you at all? Is her presence something that you feel, or in the intervening years, were you able to sort of just forget about her? And when you revisited the series with David Lynch recently, was it simply, you know, opening a door that had been shut?
I think it's both. I don't think it's either or. She's definitely been a big part of my life, and the part of her that sticks with me the most is, for her, I mean, that character is a character in a television show and in a movie, but the fact that her story happens in the real world so much is the part that sticks with me, that how is it that this is going on? That part of it that's incomprehensible and devastating. In terms of her in my life, I'm pretty low-key. I'm very much of an introvert. I live a very quiet life. So in that sense, she hasn't been with me for decades in terms of walking through my everyday life. I've gone on and had many different many other lives and many other chapters since.
No,
until
yeah, indeed.
Visiting.
Indeed. Well, but I did notice, I mean, you've had your health issues, which I'm only mentioning because it's in the public domain. And of course, you have this website, which deals with, I suppose it's an exploration and a promotion of your beliefs around health and holistic health and so forth. And I noticed there that on that site, you talk about dealing with your own chronic health issues and that you, and I'm quoting from the site, you walked through the non-linear spiral of healing as your life was transformed. And this idea of non-linear is something that caught my eye because, of course, time in David Lynch's Twin Peaks is very non-linear. Do you too connect with your spiritual beliefs? Do you feel you have common ground there philosophically about the way that you think about time and the way that David Lynch talks about time in Twin Peaks, which is very sort of circular and there are sort of parallel coexisting planes of time that seem to exist?
That's an interesting question. David and I don't talk about it, but I feel in my work with him that there is an opening to a lot of other, whether it's dimensions or whether it's nonlinear time or whether it's staying present in the moment or whether it's having access to different types of creativity or different places that creativity come from. And it's more a kinesthetic learning with him than it is a verbal learning, if that makes any sense. It's how I feel working with him. Then it's not so much us sitting around talking about it as the experience itself of it.
Because, of course, film work, and you've done so much other film work and stage work as well, and work for television, it's a very industrialized sort of model most of the time. Time, I'm talking about the working day, is very much segmented. Scenes are broken down into shots, and there is a sense of putting a puzzle together very sort of analytically, if you like. What's it like working with Lynch? Are you saying that it's slightly different? I mean, let's take The Red Room, for example, and all those very strange, creepy, you know, scenes in The Red Room that send shivers down your spine where characters talk as if they've been recorded backwards. It's such a unique location in many ways, surrounded by sort of a zebra pattern floor and the red curtains, and what happens there is very dreamlike. What is that like to film? I mean, how does David Lynch direct you in The Red Room in order to sort of then attain this very non-realist aesthetic, this very non-realist kind of tone in the finished product? I mean, what's it like working there? Is it simply a meat and potatoes experience where you're just doing one shot after the other and then in the end it sort of magically comes together like that? Or is there something different about the process compared to more conventional shooting styles?
For me, it feels completely different. When I enter that space behind the red curtains, it's as if I have to use a different part of myself and a different part of my brain and a different way of thinking and talking and moving. There's something about it that I know stretches me into places that I don't usually have to go into or use. It's very challenging in that way, and I mean that in the good kind of challenging. Because it's not something that I can overthink ahead of time. I do my homework for those scenes, and then I really, really have to stay in this place where I almost have to keep my thinking on the side, because if I start to overthink it, then it'll get in the way.
And does he encourage this? I mean, how does he set the mood for you to do your work in a place like The Red Room and in a scene like, well, in scenes like the ones that happen in The Red Room, which are so, again, against the grain when it comes to most of what actors are employed to do in television, which is much more in a realist key, in a realist register?
Well, at this point, I've spent so much time in The Red Room that there's almost this he doesn't have to say much in terms of orienting me to that space, because I have the memory in all of the cells of my being of what that place is like from, you know, from years ago of having been in there so often. So it really is sort of an altered state in there.
Do you get nightmares?
It's kind of magical that way. I don't know how he did it.
Do you dream about it when you come? I mean, you know, because it's one of those locations that gives people either nightmares or very vivid dreams, I think. Does it send you, you know, after a day on set working in the red room, how do you sleep?
Well, I'm usually tired at the end of those days, so I sleep well. But I have dreamt over, you know, over the 3 decades that I've been with these characters, I have definitely dreamt of them and dreamt of being in their lives and being in their space. But I also, for most of the characters I've played, I've had character dreams.
David Lynch does, of course, avoid discussing the work, and he's resolute about not explaining the puzzle-like nature of a lot of his films, and especially Twin Peaks. The ending of the final series, I think, was an all-time great ending of a film or TV series. I mean, it was just wonderful, poignant, incredibly dramatic. You, of course, are front and center in that ending, but it's also an open-ended finale. Do you know what it meant exactly? Do you discuss it? Do you have a secret squirrel kind of Twin Peaks insider meeting where, I doubt this is true, but I have to ask you, where he explains to you exactly what it's all about? Or, and if not, how do you come to an understanding of what it is you're doing, or what your motivations are, what the motivation generally of the director is, if it's not clear?
No, he definitely does not have a secret meeting where everything is explained. And for me, it's kind of like life in that way. I mean, there are so many things about life I don't understand, and they're not being explained to me. You know, it just keeps us, we stay in the moment, and we work with what's right in front of us in this moment.
Cheryl Lee, thank you very much for joining me on The Hub on Screen, and I hope you enjoy your time in Australia.
Thank you so much.
Actor Cheryl Lee, who will be touring Australia from next week, in conversation with fellow Twin Peaks cast members, including Kimmy Robertson, Michael Horse, Dana Ashbrook, and Al Strobel, as well as there will also be Skype appearances from David Lynch, apparently. Do check online for details. You're listening to The Hub on Screen.